For the Bible says the earth shall be filled with the glory of God and the fullness thereof. Amen. And I believe we're doing our part in allowing the glory of God to fill this earth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's make our declaration. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I feel like we already had church. But it wouldn't be church unless we hear from God, right? But if you've been listening, God's been speaking from the get-go. Amen. From the very beginning. But if you have your Bible, just lift it up to the Lord. And let's make our declaration to God. Amen. I am a believing believer. I am all here. I'm all in for God. I'm attentive. And my mind is alert. My spirit is full of the presence and the power of God. I'm a carrier of the glory of God. Therefore, my body is full of energy. I live my life full of the Word of God, full of the Spirit of God. I want what God has for me today, and I will not leave without it. I hear the Word, and I will heed the Word. Something supernatural is about to happen. Change is about to take place in my life. Now, if you really believe that, give God a shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 62. And we're going to look at verse 5. Psalm 62, verse 5. I heard our intercession prayer time yesterday was off the charts yesterday. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's an encouragement to know that the Lord is moving and the Lord is doing what he said he would do for us this year. Amen. But let's look at Psalm 62, verse 5, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And it says, my soul, what is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions, right? My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My expectation is from him. The Darby translation says, upon God alone, O my soul, rest peacefully. For my expectation is from him. Amen. Well, let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us this day. And we're so grateful, Lord, for your word is true and that you are a good God. And Lord, because you are true and you are a good God, Father, we can be at rest, we can be at peace, Father, no matter what we may face or what we may go through. So we're grateful, Lord. As David said, I will wait upon you, for my expectation comes from you and only you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone say, amen, amen and amen. I would like to entitle this message, the power of expectation. The power of expectation. Amen. In the heading of this particular Psalm 62 on my Bible, it describes a calm confidence or a resolve that David, this Psalm is written by King David. And he begins to speak, you know, if you read any of David's Psalms, you know, he's honest in what he is going through at the moment. When you read his Psalms, you begin to see everything that he's feeling at the moment. whether it's fear, whether it's anxiousness, maybe it's, you know, things that people did to him. You know, he's expressing these things that he's having to deal with, you know, in his time with God. He's just being honest with God. God, this is what I'm going through, you know. This is what I'm facing. This is the feelings that I have at the moment. But then he begins to focus on who God is. You know, he begins to focus on who God is. God, you are my rock. You are my salvation. You begin to see the change in his prayer. That he begins to focus on who God is, despite of what he's going through. And then he begins to rejoice. He begins to sing, because now he puts things in perspective of who God is and what he's going through. And this is one of those situations. He writes this psalm in regards to King Saul wanting to kill him. And he's running for his life. He's fleeing for his life. And he's having to hide in caves all over the place. And he's waiting. He says, my soul, thou wait only upon you, God. And what he's saying is, I'm waiting. It's not an idle wait, right? It's a waiting on God. It's a silence which indicates, God, I trust you. I trust you. In fact, the Bible says, be still and know that he is God, right? So he silenced himself despite of all that he's going through, of all that somebody in the whole army of the nation of Israel is hunting down one man. Can you imagine if the whole United States military was chasing after you? And this is where he is. And he's saying, I'm going to silence myself. How many of you know being still doesn't mean being physically still only? Because a lot of us, we can be laying in bed ready to sleep, but our minds are just racing with thoughts. Our bodies might be still, but our minds is not still. It's not at peace. It's not at rest. I mean, it's going 120 miles an hour. But what God wants us to do is be still, but also silence the thoughts that we're having. And how do you do that? Well, you do it with the word, right? Whatever thoughts you may be having, maybe it be negative, replace it with the word of God. Because you can only think of one thing at a time, right? So instead of trying to keep the thoughts out, you replace that thoughts with the word of God. And he silenced himself, indicates trust, both being patient and uncomplaining. A lot of times when we're waiting, right? We're waiting and we're waiting. But that trust is both patient and uncomplaining. And what he's saying is, my expectation comes from God. In the midst of trusting God, of silencing myself, right, and being patient, I'm also being expected. I'm expecting God to show up any moment. There's an expectation that God is going to rescue me. He's going to deliver me and rescue me from my enemies. There's an expectation. He's not just waiting, but he's expecting as well that God, who is his rock and salvation, he's going to come to my rescue. He's going to deliver me. He's going to rescue me. He's going to heal me, right? Amen. Because my expectation is from him. Everybody say expectation. Now let me ask you, have you ever been in a place where you're waiting for an answer to your prayer? Or waiting for a home loan to be approved. Waiting for a test result. Waiting for a job hire. Waiting for the right time to buy or to sell. Waiting for a reconciliation of a healing to take place, to happen. A supernatural breakthrough, a miracle, for an expectation to be met. Anybody? We all, right? But are you waiting? Are you cool, calm, and collective? Are you in faith? Are you believing and trusting God? Or do we complain and get impatient and try to take matters in our own hands, right? I mean, we've all been there, right? Some of us already have the t-shirts, right? The thing we need to understand, church, whenever God is going to do something, amen. Yes, he does it through the local church, his body. But when he is about to do something, God looks for people with expectation. One definition of expectation is a strong desire or a belief or anticipation that something will happen regardless of the surrounding situations may look like. Amen. It is a hope and a confidence in something or someone. My expectation is in him. You know, God looks for people with expectation. And that's why we come to our church services, right? Amen. We come in faith and expecting. Anticipation that something will happen regardless of my present situation or what I'm going through. Something good is about to happen to me today, right? Anticipation says, God, I cannot wait to hear what you're going to say. Anticipation says, God, I cannot wait to see what you're going to do. Amen. Church, we need to praise in expectation. We need to pray in expectation. We need to sow, as we just did, in expectation. We need to believe in expectation. And we need to receive in expectation. Amen. I expect miracles. Expect that God has something for you in this service today. It's not just a same old service. Come expecting. Come to hear answers. Come to hear the thing that you need to hear from God. You know, there's an account in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and we're all familiar with it. You can turn there if you want. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It talks about a woman with the issue of blood, right? I love this account of this particular situation. And it says, a certain woman. Now, that certain woman can be any woman, right? Which had an issue of blood for 12 years. Everybody say 12 years. How many of you know having to deal with an issue for 12 years is a long time? Yeah. You may not have an issue that she's facing with, but you may have an issue that you've been dealing with for a long, long time. Amen. And God wants you to be set free and delivered from that issue. Amen. And it says, she had suffered many things. Now, you would think that a person who is suffering, who has an issue for 12 years, there probably was involved suffering going on in her life, right? Not only physically, emotionally, mentally. But look at this. She also suffered from the physicians. Because she had suffered many things of many physicians. So it tells me that back in those days, there was quacks as well. Or maybe they made a misdiagnose on her, whatever she's going through, right? Because she suffered from many physicians and spent all that she had. She probably was well-to-do, but she spent all her money in trying to make herself better through the doctors, right? And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And I love this part in verse 27. This is where things begin to turn around for her. And I believe this is where our lives begin to turn around. And it says, when she had heard of Jesus, amen, her life began to turn around. How many of you remember the first time you heard the name of Jesus? I mean, we sang about his name. Aren't you glad he found you where he did? You know, there was this phrase, when I was praying the other day, this phrase just kept on coming into my head. I am who Christ is in me. And it was a simple phrase, but I began to think about it. I am who Christ is in me. And you know, that's scripture, right? Amen. And I began to meditate on that scripture. I am who Christ is in me. Think of where Christ is right now. Right now. That's who you are in him right this very moment. And it takes faith to believe that. Amen. That's who you are this very moment. I am who Christ is in me. Amen. And it says when she heard of Jesus, faith comes out by hearing. She probably heard about blind Bartimaeus getting healed from his blindness. She probably heard it. She probably heard about the 10 lepers who got healed, and only one of them was made whole. She heard about Jesus and all of the testimonies and all the things that he was doing. And it increased her faith, her expectancy. If God can do it for them, why cannot he do it for me? Amen. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press or in the crowd behind and touch his garment. Now you got to understand, not only is she facing an issue physically, but she also has to face another issue, which is the law that specifically says in Leviticus, says that anyone who has a flow of blood cannot come into proximity with the crowd. She was deemed unclean because of the issue that she had. In fact, she was deemed just like a person who had leper. They were not able to come and be with their families. They were outcasts from the society. They were to abstain from being with the crowds. So, you know, if you were a leper in those days and people were coming towards you, you had to go, leper, leper. So they would know that you were a leper and they would avoid you. And this is where she's at too. She has an issue, but now she has another issue. I cannot be in a crowd. The law says that. So it took her faith, right? Because it says she was in the crowd. You guys follow me? And it says in verse 28, for she said, notice what she said, if I may touch but his clothes. And I think the reason why she zeroed on his clothes was because of her uncleanness. She didn't want to touch him. All she said was, all I need to do, if I just touch his clothes, I'm going to be whole, man. If, now that word if, it's a small word, but it's a word that ties you in to whatever you believe in God for, because the if is what we got to deal with all every day, right? If you go and pray, if you go and come to church, if you go and read your Bible, if, and she said, if I only can touch his hem. Because that word if means granted. Granted that or when. That word if means when or granted. So it's all up to us. It's all up to her. Whether I'm going to do it or not. Right? So if you read that, you can sense her faith. You can sense an expectancy that she's creating through her words. If I can only touch his garment, I'll be whole. You guys see that? She's not saying, you know what? Waste time. Too much work. I'm too weak. I'm too sick. The law says I cannot go out in the public. So I'm just going to stay put. After 12 years, what's another year? Right? But I believe she was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. She began to move when she heard Jesus. If granted that when I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And the Bible says, straight away, or suddenly, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Amen. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power has gone out of him, turned him about in the press or the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Amen. And you know, the disciples who were so spiritually, you know, not in tune, said, "Hey, Jesus, Lord, everybody's touching you. Look at that, the whole crowd." No. Everybody was pressing up against me, but somebody in the crowd was touching me. Amen. He knew it, right? Because she had faith and expectancy. And she pulled that power out of his body. And that power was able to touch her. You know, Pastor Rob Parsley of World Harvest Church, he coined this phrase. He says, creating an atmosphere of expectation is the breeding grounds for miracles. Everybody say miracles. Miracles. See, the woman with the issue of blood created an atmosphere for expectation to receive with her faith. And she got her healing. Amen. See, if you're needing a healing or a miracle from God, start to create an atmosphere or an environment of expectation around you. Amen. Of worship, of faith, right? Of prayer, of declaring God's promises. Not just a little dab will do you, right? But get saturated in worship. Get saturated in the praise of God. Get saturated with his promises. It's saturation. Because like I said, whenever God wants to do something, he looks for people with expectation. You remember the word the Lord gave us for this year, 2021? He said that unprecedented miracles and miracles of glory for this year abounds, right? It abounds. Unprecedented miracles and manifestations of his glory abounds for us this year, right? Let me ask you, what would that mean for you? And what would it look like for you? Amen? Like I said, this year is the, right? The manifestations of miracles. Unprecedented miracles and manifestations abound. What would that mean to you, and how would that look for you in your life, in your family, in your community, in our church, right? How would that look? Wouldn't that look glorious? Wouldn't that look awesome? Yeah? I love what Catherine Kuhlman says. She always makes this statement. And it's a confession of faith. She says, "I believe in miracles." That's good. And I used to often think, why would she say that all the time? Because she's fully convinced that God is a God of miracles. And he still does miracles to this day. Amen. And I attest to you, I believe in miracles as well. Amen. Amen. Because I believe in the God of miracles. Hallelujah. The God of supernatural and the God of miracles. The thing is, are you believing and expecting the Lord for his unprecedented miracles and manifestations of glory to abound in your life? for this year, 2021. Amen. And if you say, yes, Pastor, my faith and my expectation is locked in. Amen. And if that's you, everybody say, that's me. Then our faith level has to rise up to our expectation of what God has said to us for this year. Your faith level has to rise up to that expectation of what the Lord is saying to us this year. Everybody say, elevate your expectation. Because your expectation plays an important ingredient to your faith. Because in our walk of faith, expectation will always precede manifestations in believing what God has said regarding your life for this year. Let me say that again. Because our walk of faith, expectation will always precede or come before manifestations in believing what God has said regarding for our lives for this year. You see why important expectation is. Yes, our faith is motivated by love. It always has to be. But there's another component of expectation. How many of you know if you're not exercising faith, right, and expecting expectation, you're not going to receive nothing. If you're not expecting nothing, guess what you're going to get? Nada. Nothing. Right? And that's pretty simple. If we're not believing to receive anything from God this year, then guess what? And we're not expecting. It's just going to be another year. I don't want just another year. I want a year that is abounding with manifestations of miracles and glory. However that looks like in my life, I don't know exactly how that looks like, but all I know it's good. But it's because God's a good God. And if he's telling me that this is what we can have, so praise God, if I got to be an expectant every single day, hallelujah. You know, about 2 months, no, not 2 months, I'm sorry, about 2 weeks ago, 2 months. 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine, he comes to the community food outreach, and every so often, you know, he loves to buy, he loves his poi. So what he'll do is he'll buy a bag for him and he'll buy a bag for me without me knowing. And then he'll just show up at my house and text me, hey, Herman, I'm outside your garage. Can you come outside? So I would come outside and, you know, he comes with his motorbike, with his backpack. And he texts me, he says, hey, Herman, I'm outside. I got some poi for you. I said, shoot, you know. The Lord knew I needed poi, right? Did you bring the lalo? No, just kidding. But anyway, I go outside and then I see him out there and, you know, we talk, started for a while. And, you know, he's taking off his backpack. And then all of a sudden, I see this cringe in his face. I say, what's up? He says, oh, man, I've been having this pain in my neck and my shoulder and my chest. You know, it just came suddenly. I said, well, do you have the pain right now? He says, yeah. So I says, would you mind me praying for you? He says, no, I don't mind. So how many of you know that I didn't come with the intent of praying for him, with the intent of, Lord, if it be your will, heal him, right? Because he wouldn't be healed if I came with that kind of thought, right? Or if I came with the thought, you know what, hit and miss, you know, God, maybe you might heal him, or maybe you might not, then pretty much it wouldn't have happened. But, you know, when I was ready to pray for him, I was expecting God to touch him and change his physical condition. I was expecting God to touch him based upon who God is and my knowledge of God is healer based on that truth. And all I did was touch his chest. And I said, Jesus, touch him. That's it. And, you know, he's not a church guy, but he knows when something like that happens. And I says, it's gone, right? There's no pain. He just smiled. He just gave me a smirk. And he said, oh, thank you, Herman. And that was it. You know, I didn't tell him, lift up your arms, you know. I just knew God touched him. But expectation did that, expecting that God would touch him. You guys hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if I was to, or any of you, share God or share the Lord with somebody or witness to a friend or to even a stranger with no expectation, right? If I came up to Reuben and I said, hey, Reuben, you don't want to hear about how much Jesus loves you, right? Probably Reuben would say, no. Right? It's a turnoff. You don't want to hear how much Jesus loves you, right? I mean, what a way to start the gospel, right? Promote Jesus Christ. But you know, you say, you know what? Can I tell you something? Can I tell you that Jesus loves you so much, right? That he loves you so much that he wants you to spend eternity in heaven with you, right? You have that expectation that they'll listen, right? You know, talking about this friend of mine, you know, about the Lord healing him. And this was done outside of church. How many of you know the same thing that God does in here, he ought to be doing outside there? More so. Like I said, the glory of the Lord, right, shall fill this earth and the fullness thereof. And that's where the glory of God needs to be revealed, outside there, people that you work with, family members, whoever they are, who have a need, and each and every one of you has that need or that answer for them. It deals with eternity, right? Not only in the physical realm, but the eternal realm as well. And you know, these few months or even a few years, you know, if I go to any kind of errands or go to the marketplace or go this place and that place, and I see somebody with an elbow band or a knee brace or what have you, when I look at them, I look at them in the perspective that, you know, God can heal you. You know, I look at them in that perspective. And I see somebody else, I say, wow, you know, God can heal you. I'm talking to myself. You see what I'm saying? And I remember meeting this one guy up in Foodland, and he had an arm brace on. And I knew him from the past, and I said, hey, what happened to you? And he apparently pulled a shoulder muscle up here, and he was lifting some kind of barrel, and he ripped torn a muscle. And he had to do surgery. So I says, can I pray for you? He said, yeah, sure. And I prayed for him. And you know what? You know what he did? He took his hand out of the wristband. And he lifted his hand up. Yeah. Everybody say expectation.
Expectation
is the breeding grounds for miracles. Yeah. I wasn't expecting him not to be healed. I was expecting God to touch him. We do our part, expect it, and God will do his part.
Amen.
But if we fail to do our part, then God won't do his part. And our part is to be in a place of expectation. Because God looks for people with expectation. Amen? Now, there's another account in Acts chapter 3. How are we doing on time? Okay, we have enough time. In Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, I'll give you time to turn there. Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 5. How many of you are learning something this morning? We're talking about expectation, the power of expectation. Everybody say amen when you get there.
Amen.
Now, let me give you, first, before we jump into scripture, let me give you an easy illustration of expectation. Expectation is when a woman is pregnant, right? Expectation. We say, well, when we see somebody, a woman who's pregnant, we're saying she's expecting, right? Meaning she's looking forward to when her baby will be born, right? And a lot of our women can say amen, right? As in the spirit realm, every child of God is pregnant with dreams, miracles, and breakthroughs and possibilities. As the word of the Lord came with our prayer people, it's time to start birthing, amen, that God has impregnated you with, right? And there's a story of three men who were standing in the room for expected fathers waiting. How many of you fathers have been in that place waiting as your wives were? Or maybe some of us like myself went in as well, right? But this story was three men were waiting in the room for expected fathers for word on the arrival of their newborn babies. Somewhat later, a nurse comes in and announces to one of the men that his wife has just given birth to twins. He says, that's amazing, because I play for the Minnesota Twins. How's that? You know, he's telling the other guys, how's that? I play for the Minnesota Twins and I got twins. About 20 minutes later, another nurse comes in and announces to the second gentleman that his wife had given birth to triplets. And he says, wow, I work for the 3M company. And I have, my wife had triplets. And upon hearing that, the third guy falls off his chair and he faints. And he passed out. He's laying on the floor. And after many minutes of trying to revive him, they ask him, what happened? Why did you faint? Why did you pass out? And he says, because I work for the 7-Up company. Everybody say expectation. Now, in Acts chapter 3, verses 2 to 5, if you should be there already. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock. And it says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Now hold your finger there and turn to Acts chapter 4. I want to show you something before we move on. Acts chapter 4, verse 22. It gives you just a little bit more detail of this individual, this man who laid at the gate, who was lame from birth. And it says, for this man was 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So this certain man, for 40 years, he was born lame. So that's a long, long time, right? He was 40 years old. So I don't know how long they were laying him at the gate, right? And I mean, you know. But anyway, they would lay him at the gate, which is called Beautiful, to beg, basically, to those who were entering the temple. In verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple. You know, it's one thing to look at something, but it's a different thing in seeing something. Amen. He probably was looking and just looking at everybody else. But then he seen Peter and John. Amen. He began to see them. You know, I share this story quite often. You know, way back, back in the 80s or even 90s, you know, there was that profile of John F. Kennedy up in Eyal Valley of the rocks. You know, he had his face on the rocks. A whole bunch of us went up, and everybody saw it. All seven of the other guys saw it. I was looking. Everybody was seeing, but I was just looking, and I couldn't see nothing. You see the difference? I was looking, they see. They say, oh, yeah, I see it, right there, I see it. You don't see him, Aaron? Yeah. And in my mind, I go, I want to see. I got so frustrated, I said, yeah, I see it. Went home. And the next day later, I went back up just by myself. And I just took my time and I just started, seeing. I started looking. Oh, there, now I see it. Too much pressure, everybody trying to see. But there's a difference between seeing and looking. But he's seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple. He asked them for alms. And verse 4, fixing his eyes on them with John, this is Peter now, as he was seeing them, Peter just fixed his eyes on this guy. I mean, he was staring directly at this guy. You know, a lot of us, before this COVID thing, came, you go to Safeway, you go to Walmart, get the Girl Scouts all with their tables selling their cookies. A lot of us, I try to just donate, but a lot of us, I watch people, they don't look, they just walk. They don't want to make eye contact, because they don't want to obligate themselves. Because all you got to do is look in those kids' eyes and you're pulling out your wallet. Right? So you just look straight. Oh, no, thank you. And you just walk straight. But not Peter. He saw the guy laying there. Or some of us, we see something like that, we just walk around him. But the Bible says Peter fixed his eye on that guy. He stared at that guy. What the guy was seeing, he was looking back. Now, you got to remember, the chapter before this, they were up in the upper room, right? All 120 of them. And something supernatural happened. The Holy Ghost filled that place. And they got all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, they're filled with the presence and the power of the anointing. Now, prior to that, they might have walked by him every single day. I don't know how long. But this day was a different day for this man. Because now you have two servants who are filled with the presence and the power of God. I mean, they're dangerous, right? They're looking. They're looking for somebody to lay hands on them. And they're probably thinking, why not him? Yeah. I mean, a lot of times we determine our fate, right? Oh, wheelchair. Oh, that's too hard. We do that. But the same faith that got you saved is the same faith that will work. Amen. We just have to keep on using it, doing it, and learning, and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us how to be more proficient. Amen. So Peter says, look at us. I see you staring. Yeah, look. Look at us, right? So he gave them his attention. And notice this, expecting to receive. Receive something from them. He was in that place of expectation. He's probably going, all right, I'm going to expect something. I'm going to receive something from this guy. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. I don't have any money, but what I do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. But Peter was saying, I don't have what you want, but I do have what you need. And I can give that to you. Amen. He gave him what he had. The presence of the anointing to heal him. Amen. And he tells him, rise up and walk. And he takes him by the right hand. Now, mind you, he was born like this from birth. Right? He must have been frail, weak. Right? I mean, I remember years ago when I had torn this ligament in my knee, the cartilage. This knee went completely backwards, twist, and it snapped. And had to have surgery, arthroscopic surgery. But also had to have physical therapy as well, because my leg had locked in a position like this. And, you know, it was painful. But I remember, you know, going through that and, you know, the Lord having to, the Lord was even in the process of healing my knee as well. But as I went to the physical therapist, for that 3 weeks that I was physically, you know, not doing anything, she had me stand in the front of the mirror. And she said, look at your legs. Look at your knee, the one that you injured. Look at your legs. And when I looked, I couldn't believe that that was my leg. I had gotten spiritual atrophy. I had lost muscle mass. This leg was huge, and this one was like straight, skinny. Just within the 3 weeks of not walking and not physically active. They call it spiritual atrophy. You lose muscle size. And I looked, I go, my goodness, is that my leg? I said, is that your leg? So can you imagine this guy for 40 years not walking? He had an unprecedented miracle. Yeah. It says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles began to receive strength. So he leaped up, stood, and walked and entered the temple with them, leaping and praising God. Now he was on the outside of the gate of the temple. And can you imagine the amount of people that was going in? Now this is the first time, after 40 years, he's able to go into the temple. And when they saw him, they said, hey, you look like the guy who was always laying down in the front of the temple. That's me. Because he was praising and leaping and praising God, right? Wouldn't you if God did something that, like that for you, right? But verse 5, he says, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Man, this guy was 40 years old. He was laid at the gate every day, begging for money, right? Probably was his only source of income. But on this particular day, his life was about to be changed. The Bible says, seeing Peter and John, he was expecting to receive something. And boy, did he receive something. To his amazement, he received something more than he could think or imagine. He received a miracle from the Lord. Praise God. In Ephesians, let me try to find a closing place. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Wonderful scripture. I love this scripture. I know, James, you love this scripture. It says, now unto him who, unto God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. Do you know that there is a power that is working in you, whether you realize it or not? Amen. How many of you know that God cannot be limited? That he is unlimited. He's almighty. He's all-powerful, right? And he will always exceed our expectations. Because he's God all by himself. The Passion Translation says, he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dreams, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. One minute this guy is lame, is not able to walk. The next minute he's up walking and jumping and praising God. Amen. And that's the thing, you know, when somebody believes for healing and God heals that individual, God is much more concerned not only for him to get well or you to get well, but what will you do after the fact that he heals you? Will you still praise him when he has done his part in your life? And a lot of the times people get healed, they get delivered, and then you don't see them around. Amen. So God is much more concerned. Yes, he wants to heal you. He wants to give you a miracle. But he also wants to see, where will you go after the fact? Amen. Because God will always do his part. Amen. And we do our part. But when he does his part in our lives, we all know that somebody else, right, has a need just like us. Amen. So we can also bring that into their lives as well. You know what I'm saying? So what are your expectations for this year? What are your expectations for this year? You need to write down those expectations. Write it down. Write it down what you're expecting for this year for God to do. And attach a promise from his word to that expectation. Ground that expectation with his word, his promise. Amen. And believe in and expecting God to do for you this year. And keep it before him in prayer. Whether it's a loved one receiving salvation, whether it's a healing, whether it's a restoration or healing within a marriage or relationship, whatever it is, amen. God is true to his word. And be confident and rest assured that God is able to meet and surpass those expectations that you give him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Repeat this after me. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing. The overflow of God's divine life in me fully equips, enables, and empowers me to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all and beyond that I can ask, think, even imagine, according to his miraculous power that is at work within me. The days that are before me right now are more glorious than the days that are behind. So bye-bye 2020 and hello 2021. Amen, amen. Now let me just give you just another more definitional expectation. You can write it down. Like I said, the expectation is a strong desire, belief, and anticipation that something will happen, regardless of surrounding situations may look like. It is hope and confidence in something. It is to gaze into a distance with your head raised, just like a watchman standing in the tower who just looks expectantly. Amen. Real quick, the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. In verse 20, the Bible says, so he, the prodigal son, when he decided to return home, the Bible says when he was a long way off, his father saw him coming. Now the father, that story of the prodigal son is not about him. It's about the father, God the Father, who loves, right? We get that story all mixed up. Yes, it talks about the prodigal son leaving his house, but it's all about the love of the Father for us, how forgiving and how loving he is. And the Bible says that his father, I believe the father would always stand out and he would look and watch and wait, expectingly that his long-lost son would come back home. Yeah, and he did come back home. And that's the same thing that God did with us. He was waiting, watching, expecting for you and I to come back home to him. Amen. And that's what that word means. Gazing into a long, far distance with your head raised, watching. Expectation is looking forward to better things to come. We all should say amen.
Amen.
For better things to come than last year. It is a strong assurance and conviction that something good is about to happen. Expectation is turning your eyes away from everything in order to focus on an object alone. As catalyst is resin to harden, so is expectation the catalyst of every miracle. Some of you who work with surfboards, you use the catalyst for the resin. It's what makes the catalyst harden and strong, right? Well, that's the same thing. Expectation is the catalyst for miracles. Expectation is a strong hope, a confident and favorable expectation that a particular event will happen. Amen. So, church, get your expectation up. Whenever we come to church service, expect to hear from God. That I can't wait to hear what God's going to say. I can't wait to hear or see what God's going to do. Amen. And by that kind of expectation, we create an atmosphere. We create an environment for God to move as he wants to move and do. Amen. Like I said, if you are not expect, when we come to church and you expect to receive nothing, then you're going to go home discouraged because you're not going to get nothing or receive anything. So always remember, just as sure as you turn on your cell phone, get your expectation on as well. Amen. And I tell you what, we'll see more things begin to happen. We'll see the Holy Spirit begin to manifest in a greater measure. Amen. To all of us, through our lives. Amen. And to where even not only in limited in the church, in this setting, but also outside, your neighbors, your co-workers, your family members. Amen. I believe that people's hearts, because of all these things that are going on, I believe people's hearts are searching. Amen. They're searching and looking for answers. And church, we have the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer for every situation and problem that we will face or ever face. Amen. Everybody say expectation. Amen. You received the word today? Did you learn something today? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when Pastor Carol, you know, she's cooking, I can smell them, right? She don't have to tell me, hey, whatever, lunch or dinner's ready, right? She don't have to tell me. I mean, I'm expecting to eat. I'm expecting to show up and eat. Amen. I mean, you know, that's real simple and funny, but, those are practical things, but we need to be the same way in the things of the Spirit. The things of God, you know, that when you open your Bible and you spend time with the Lord and you ask the Holy Spirit, you know, just speak to me, just show me what I need to see today that will help me in my walk today, whatever I'm going through, and come expecting for God to speak to you when you read your Bible, and he'll speak to you through his word. And whatever you may need, whether it's hope, you know, maybe it's faith, whatever it is, you know, God will supply that need, just as we heard the scripture. That supply is not limited just to finances. That supply is every area of your life. Wherever you're lacking or you have need of, for your emotions, for your mind, for your spirit, for your physical well-being, there is a supply. And that supply is not something that we receive up from up here. That supply is something that we release from within. Within here, that supply is within you. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and rivers, not streams, not dew, but rivers. I don't know. I mean, we used to be down Papakalo, and, you know, that river that goes up to Yale comes down. I mean, when that thing is, you know, raining, I mean, that river is huge, you know. I mean, we go to Pittsburgh, we see the Three River Stadium, which is a combination of three different rivers. I mean, it's huge, right? It's not a stream, it's not a lake, it's a river. So Jesus says, you have a river inside of you. You have a river, but you need to learn to tap into that river, that supply, so that you can release it, not only for yourself, but you can release it for others. Amen. So don't look up, look within. You live your life from inside of who you are. I am who Christ is in me. I am who Christ is in me. For as he is, so am I in this world. And I know it takes faith to receive that. But that is who you are. That is not somebody you're gonna be. God sees you as you are in Christ. And that's the process of renewing your mind. That my worth is in him. If God says you're worth and you're a treasure and you're priceless, that's who you are. Don't allow the devil to talk down on you. In fact, you should be talking down to him. As we heard, you never look up and talk to him this way. You look down and you talk to him downwards, because that's where he is. Amen. You know what? Why don't you keep your mouth shut? Because everything that comes out of your mouth is a lie. I don't have time to listen to your lies. I've had enough. But I know too much of God to fall into your trap. My foot is standing on the solid rock. Yes, a firm foundation. Father God, we thank you. We're so grateful that you always meet us where we are. But not only you meet us where we are, you take us where we need to be in Christ. You always elevate us. You always lift us up. You always edify us and build us up to your word. And you tell us who we are, not who we will be, but who we are right now in Christ. So we're so grateful, Lord, that we are positioned, our position in Christ, in this kingdom, is a position of authority. It's a position of honor. It's a position of privilege to be in Christ and Christ alone. And therefore, Lord, to be in Christ, to be in you, Lord, we are free. We are free to do what you've called us to do as a church, as believers. And because we are in you, Lord, who Christ is in me, so am I in Christ. Everything that heaven has is in us right now. And we live out of this place of the Spirit, this position in Christ. And we thank you for this foundation, this absolute truth. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say,
amen.
Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. We want to get you guys out early tonight.